Hello, friend. Welcome back to Learning English Through the Bible. Have you heard of the English phrase, mind reader? It means one that professes or is held to be able to perceive another's thoughts without normal means of communication. Of course, we all laugh at it when someone claims to read another person's mind. Because God granted each person his or her own free will, the freedom of thought and decision. This is the freedom even God himself will not take away from us. It is impossible for man to know another man's thought without communicating with him or her by means of words or body language. However, the Bible does say in 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at." Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Isn't that an awesome thought? Now, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?' But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." In this wondrous act of our Lord Jesus, it is not hard at all for us to see that faith saved the paralyzed man. What is really interesting is what Jesus saw was not the paralyzed man's faith, but the faith of the four men who carried him to Jesus. The four men loved the paralytic so much that they decided to bring him to Jesus, and nothing could stop them. When they could not get through the crowd that surrounded the house Jesus was in, they lifted him up onto the rooftop, opened up a big hole on the rooftop, and lowered him to Jesus. Their action of love showed the essences of their faith. Not only did they believe that the Lord is able to do anything if he so desires, but they were also sure that the Lord is love. He rewards those who seek him. Just like King David says in Psalm 62, verse 11, "One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done." The Lord Jesus saw the four men's love for the paralytic and their faith. So he rewarded them with what they desired in their hearts. But, you may ask, why didn't Jesus simply heal the paralytic by word or by action like what he did in Mark chapter 1? Indeed, Jesus did not heal the paralyzed man right away, but instead said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Of course, the people around him also heard what he said to the paralyzed man. Among them were some teachers of the law who were supposedly experts of the Old Testament. They correctly knew that the sin that had entered into the world through Adam was the root of all sicknesses in the world. They also knew that only God could forgive man of his sins. They judged that the paralyzed man brought to Jesus sin to have got paralyzed. They judged incorrectly that Jesus was a mere man, and therefore they accused him of blaspheming in their hearts. They were paralyzed in their minds. Of course, our Lord loved these mentally paralyzed teachers of the law as much as he loved the physically paralyzed man. He confronted them, "Why are you thinking these things?" Our Lord reminded them and us that he can read our minds. He knows every thought in our hearts. The Bible does not tell us if those mentally paralyzed teachers of the law eventually repented to receive Jesus, his love, and his authority. But the Bible clearly tells us that the physically paralyzed man was obedient at the Lord's word. "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Yes, he did get up and was healed. Isn't that awesome? The Lord knows in every way what we think, how we reason, and what we will. Yet he does not take away our freedom of thought and decision. We are free to believe that the Lord is mighty and that Jesus is love, like the four men who brought the paralytic to Jesus. We are free to obey the Lord's loving command and to get up healed like the paralyzed man. We are also free to follow the teachers of the law, thinking highly of themselves, judging others, and accusing the Lord. Oh, how much Lord Jesus desired that those teachers of the law would understand his questioning. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat, and walk"? Dear friend, do you hear Jesus' question? Which is easier? Do you know what he paid for saying, "Son, your sins are forgiven"? Yes, our Lord, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. He died on the cross so that my sins and yours are forgiven. He rose from the dead on the third day. He is in heaven now, looking at your heart and mine. May we all come to him and say to him, "You, O God, are strong, and you, O Lord, are loving." May the Almighty loving God bless you. Bye-bye.